It's 5:30, so I'll call us to order. Good evening, everyone. First thing on our agenda is approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I so move.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Mr. Chairman, I request to move Quorum PO fee structure bylaws to status report. Because we're not ready for action today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very well. Do we have any discussion, any issues with that? Awesome. All in favor to approve the agenda with the amendment?
Yes.
Any opposed? You have any issues with that, Dr. Brantley? So moved. First up on our action items is the approval of the August 17th CAC meeting minutes. I'm sure you all have reviewed them. Do we have a motion to approve?
I so move.
Do we have a second?
A second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Next up is our core MPO MOU fee structure and bylaws adoption. Oh, I'm sorry. Correct. Next up is FY 2024 to 2027 TIP adoption.
Okay, we are in development of the fiscal year 2024 to 2027 Transportation Improvement Program, which is the short-term programming document. Basically lists what kind of projects we include in the document and then the money allocated to them, because for the new members, it might not know, and then the program year. So I'm just going directly to chapter 3 over here, because chapter 1 and chapter 2 are basically background information. Just tell you how much money we have, what is TIP, what is MPO, and then what is the revenue, and how we are prioritizing projects. So those are the information. But basically, the meat of the document, which is the project list and then project information, is included in chapter 3. So as you can see, we have State Route Spur, US 17 Back River Bridge included, and then Talmadge Bridge, that's a maintenance project, and then US 80 at Bull River Bridge Replacement, US 80 at La Strada Creek Bridge Replacement, and then I-95 ITS Project, the CAS State of Good Repair Fleet Replacement, one vehicle, and Project Durain, and the Garrard Avenue Improvement Project and Chambers Road Improvement Project. I'm skipping the next one. And then we also have I-16 at Stewart Street 17. And the Mildred Project is also part of Project Durain. So this table, this is the draft that we send out for public review. But based on the latest development, I'm going to highlight the changes. I'm going to have like three changes over here. One is this City of Richmond Hill project, Ivy and Linwood sidewalk project. We're going to delete it from the TIP because Richmond Hill sent a letter to GDOT canceling the project, and it has been removed from the GDOT TIP system. The other project is this Ocean Terminal project, and this is the Georgia Ports Authority project, 100% funded by the Georgia Ports Authority. We are still going to include the project in the TIP, but it won't be included in the financial balance. It will be an illustrative project, because we got confirmation on Monday from GPA that they are not going to pursue federal dollars in the future. So it's like a local agency project. We will just show it in the TIP as illustrative. So we are not going to include it in our long-range transportation plan and the TIP. And then the third project I'm going to mention is the one that's not included here because of my mistake. And It is the I-16 exit ramp removal, IMR study, because it got earmark funds, and we already amended into our current TIP back, I think, in August or June. Actually, in June, we already amended it into our TIP, and as it shows in fiscal year 2024, but I missed that one. So I'm going to include that one over here. And another thing that I want to mention is that we are still trying to work out some funding balances for Y230, Series 1, and carbon reduction. So I had a TCC meeting this afternoon, so we're still working out the details. But basically, those funds will be allocated to Garrard Avenue, Chavers Road. And then, okay, I actually also missed another project, the Green Island Trail project. So that one will be included as well. So these would be the highway section. And then in the transit section, we did, CAD actually programmed the section 5307 and, section 5307H and 5337, 339 and 339C. And so these would be the program, the transit projects. So we did ask CAD to double check the information, today because we're still in the comment period. So we can update the TIP based on the comments we receive or latest information updates. So we did ask CAD to double check their information, because, some information I don't feel comfortable because they didn't have a dedicated planner to work on this. So they really, don't have anybody who probably knows, the details. So we did want them to, now they have a new planner. Who will be working with the MPO. So we do want them to double check these numbers to make sure. We also need some information from them because the funding obligation, we have the highways. So you can see what funds have been authorized for which project in the past 3 years, for the highway and bike path projects is easier to track. But for the transit, because we don't have that information, so we want them to send that information. So those would be all the changes. So I'm outlining over here. So
you said you asked CAT to double check. When will they get back to you on that?
I just sent out an email actually a moment ago before I came to the meeting. I want them to send that back to me by the close of business next Tuesday. Because the comment period ends next Thursday, and we have 3 working days to address all the comments and all the updates. And then the MPO board will adopt the TIP on November the 1st. So they need to send that information to me. So basically they have 3 days to work on this. So Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then they will send me the updates, hopefully. So I will update, the TIP document, have all the updated information. Hopefully. So today, the staff is requesting that the CEC just endorse the proposed TIP per the changes that I mentioned, because those wouldn't be major changes. So it would be some minor changes. So we would just request your endorsement and per the changes.
Do we have any questions?
No, I have no questions, but I would like to move that that we approve the recommendation coming from the staff as support for this, this move there.
Do it. Motion. Do we have a second?
I second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. So we endorse.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then I can move on to the status report on the fee structure, MOU and the bylaws. Last time we already showed you the MOU, the proposed language in the MOU. So I highlighted all the changes, in red. The information, why is it not moving? Okay. The information related to this committee is because we do want to combine CEC and ACAT into the Transportation Equity and the Public Involvement Advisory Committee. So the language is over here for the new member. If you want to review this, just send us the comments back as soon as possible. And also, we are still waiting for We're still waiting for all the counties, the three counties, to send us their proposed methodology for fee structure, how to split their internal fees. Like Chatham County, Bryan County, Effingham County, the fees will be determined by the percentage of the regional population, but how do they split internally? Like, would Chatham County still pay the 25% for the municipalities? And yeah, Bryan County and Richmond Hill, they need to reach some kind of agreement. We still haven't received that information. So we are going to follow up with them probably as soon as possible, so that we need some region documentation so that we can finalize the MOU. So that part is in Appendix B. So right now I have all this language over here, so we will finalize this based on input. And the bylaws is the first time that I'm going to show you this. That's why we're not going to have the action today. So in this bylaws, we are trying to have all the committees have the same kind of structure, so same kind of election time, same kind of quorum requirement, so they don't have like separate ways and election time and all that. As I mentioned, we want to combine the ACAT and the CEC. So basically, we're deleting the bylaws for the individual CEC and ACAT, but combine that into this Transportation Equity and the Public Involvement Advisory Committee, and these are the proposed language. Basically, this language some of those are copied from the CEC, and some of those are copied from ACAT. But we want this revised committee to have a mission. So you will definitely be responsible for directing the MPO staff in updating, maintaining, and our Title VI plan, participation plan, language assistance plan, and environmental justice and report. And then I have, because we have been struggling to have quorums for both. So I try to revise the committee structure over here. So as you can see, we will have like interested six positions for interested citizens. And then for the ACAT and those agencies that haven't been participating for, I would say, for the past 20 years or for the past 10 years, I would rather just move them to the non-voting advisory roles, because they haven't been participating. I mean, even if you see some, for example, this is senior citizens. I haven't even seen, I mean, their executive director was supposed to be a voting member, but I haven't seen her for the past 5 years. I don't know who she is. So we would like to just revise this over here. So we have this membership over here, the regularly participating members to be the voting members, and all the others will be non-voting advisory members. So please, after today's meeting, please review this language and to see and whether this will work for you, because definitely we are going to update our participation plan and the Title VI plan. Probably need to adopt those in August as well, as I mean, to be coordinated with the 2050 plan update. So you probably will, you also need to like determine your meeting frequency. So probably during that update, you might need to like meet more, like every month or something, or as needed. But you need to let us know, like, how often do you want to meet?
Excuse me, Chair. How do you pronounce TEPAIAC? Do you pronounce it at all, or just initials?
TPAC.
TPAC.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like this name, just let me know, because I can revise this. Like I said, this is the draft bylaws I'm showing you the first time. So you are free to send me the comments on any of the language that I have written over here. So if you don't like the TEPIAC, so what do you suggest? Because the transportation equity, I think, is a name that Asia came out. I think, yeah. Yeah, because I do want to have the public involvement as part of it, because you will be definitely responsible for the participation plan update, guiding us for the participation plan. So transportation equity is part of it, and it's also a federal focus area, but we want to carry the role of the CEC, Citizens Advisory Committee, because you're still going to do the public involvement, directing us for that. And also I'm probably in the roles and the responsibilities, duties and responsibilities. Let us know. I mean, besides the plans that I talked about, the Title VI plan, participation plan. I mean, maybe as needed. I mean, for the 2050 plan, you want to be updated on that or something, or you want to be updated on specific studies or specific project. And so we will include, because you're going to have a different agenda from the regular TCC, and so you're not going to rubber stamp their agenda items. So you're going to focus on your own, so that you can provide more focused input, and that can be implemented. So we don't want you to rubber stamp the other committees.
Is there ever a danger of that? We never saw that until they had done it.
Yeah.
Even before they do so, how could we possibly conceive of a rubber stamp when they acted? Well, we did.
Yeah, like the new tip we just talked about, I mean, present you that information, but a lot of the tip amendments. So you're basically, we are repeating over here, you endorse it, and then every committee has this agenda item. So you're basically rubber stamping for it. So even if I remember in the previous years, some of the CEC voted against the one project, but the MPO board is still adopted, so you're overruled. So basically your input wasn't taken seriously, because you're the advisory committee. You're not the decision makers. The MPO board is the decision makers. So we would rather that we focus our energy into areas that can be useful to us. So yeah, after today, we can send this proposed bylaws and MOU to you, but they attach to the agenda, so you can review them. And any word can be updated. So this is like draft. So any input will be welcome.
It's just like the name, everything's kind of a
placeholder. Yeah. Even if you don't like the name, yeah.
Just a placeholder, right?
Yeah, replace it. Just tell us, yeah, what you think.
I guess, do you have thoughts on what the process will be for members of both of those committees to join this new committee? Will everyone just kind of be grandfathered in, or will people be asked? Are they still interested, or what will be that process?
I think like three of you who have been consistently participating, we would like to keep you in. Yeah, but we have other members, and we have a lot of vacancies, and we have a hard time filling the vacancies. Yeah, probably not. So I'm thinking about like grandfathered in. Maybe we can put that language in there. So for the members who have been consistently participating, because I mean, I do have like six positions over here for interested citizens. But if you don't think six is enough, let us know. So if you like suggest eight or seven or something, so let us know. So any of this are subject to change.
But the number six that was just came up with, because that seemed to be a number that we could hit.
I'm thinking, because normally we have like CEC, we normally have three people or four people attending. In the previous ACAT bylaws, they have four positions. But I'm thinking maybe we might have more, because I mean, if we have like three or four people from CEC, and then two people are interested in like accessible transportation, so we might expand more. But I mean, those are like people who take the bus, and then they want to comment on like the sidewalk or connection or something. So yeah, we would That's my thought. That's why I had six.
That's 100% me. That's why I got. I went to a master planning meeting in one of the. Like a year and a half ago, master plan meeting, and someone I was talking to there said, "Oh, you should sign up for this," and then got an email, "Hey, we have, you know, you're on this committee now." So that's
So it's the focused agendas can be the plans that I've been talking about, but also you have some certain issues that you're interested in. So bring it over here so that we can decide, like what kind of approach that we want to, meet the demand. So we wouldn't have to rubber stamp all the MPO board agenda.
I understand that there'll be total six members in all.
Huh?
Total number will be 6 members in this new committee, right?
16. I didn't count. But I would just, single out those people who have been regularly participating. Yeah, but I haven't counted it yet. Yeah.
You've got the voting members with the 6 interested citizens. That would be 15 if every organization was sending one person.
Yeah, that's more manageable, I think. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Send us the comments afterwards. Thank you.
Next up on our status reports is the 2050 MTP update.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's see. I'll do a quick presentation and then not for any questions. So this is a quick slide of about, quick presentation of 13 slides. We're doing the 2050 MTP plan. These are the two topics I'm going to speak about, financial plan, interest rate, and cost estimate example. Let's see. So basically, I've described this before to the TCC. I'll try to make it very general for this committee. We're going to look at the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and take that inflation rate and turn it into a growth rate. The growth rate will be applied to pots of money to grow it to the future. So it's a 2050. So say we had $1 million, we grow it to like $50 million or something over a time period. So that's what we're going to do. And I'm looking at the Consumer Price Index inflation rate from the U.S. Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics. So it indicates that 1 or 2% annual inflation is usually typically what we have. I took data from 2020 to 2022 because this year is not complete yet, so we don't have all the data for this year. I can't include this year. So from 2020 to 2022, we get a very high interest rate of 4.6% because of the pandemic. We all know inflation is going up and the prices are high. So we get 4.61%. That's a little high. So we've decided in TCC today that we would use 2% because that's a little bit more controlled. This is going to be over a long time period. So we're guessing and having a hypothesis, an educated guess that in the future, the inflation rate will go back down. So probably be closer to normal in the future. And if not, fortunately, we can kind of play with money in the future. So we don't have to worry about 2050 for now. So that's what we decided to do. And just as a comparison analysis, the ARC, the Atlanta Regional Commission, which is a lot, I think it's like 10 counties or 14 counties, their interest rate was 2.2%. The Augusta Arts MPO, their interest rate was 2%. Macon MPO, their interest rate was 2%. And GDOT, theirs is 1%. They're typically a little bit more conservative. So everywhere around Georgia is usually around 2%, 3%. So we're right in line with them. Let's see what else. And then we're trying to decide right now what kind of money we're going to use, what pots of money we're going to use, where the money is going to be from, where we're going to generate the money from. And then the next thing is the cost estimate example. Before I go on, are there any questions? Questions? Okay, cool. So the cost estimate example is next. And let me see. So we use the State Road 26 at State Road 307 intersection. So a SPUI is a single point urban interchange. So it's a very massive interchange where one roadway is going above another. Basically, it's to increase the flow or capacity of the roadway and kind of get people through faster. And it's supposed to increase safety depending on how you design it. So essentially, we needed to know what we could use to project the cost of every project for the 2050 MTP. So we don't have any type of cost estimate tool here in the Savannah area. So I used to work in Atlanta, so I just happened to have a cost estimate example from ARC. So what we did was we used their cost estimate tool, not example, their tool from the ARC. We used their tool and used this example to kind of guess how it works and find out if it's pretty good. So the interchange was designed here. This is just an example in the US 80 corridor study. This is what it looks like, of course. I took all the information from this, kind of looked in Google Maps, and kind of found out how much of acreage we would use. So, for example, this slide kind of shows you the math, the math I took. So it was about 8.55 acres, and that's what's in this example. You don't have to look at it in close. It's 8.55 acres. There's more commercial right-of-way that have been taken other than agricultural right-of-way. So it's 50% commercial. And I think I said 30%. No, it's 50% commercial, 50% agricultural. Commercial costs more. So the right-of-way is a little bit more expensive for commercial land. And the right-of-way was over $3 million. So in the final slide of it, where is it? If you... So here you see it costs about $50 million in its final total. The years and everything can be changed depending on when the design of the actual, when the construction will actually go through preliminary engineering and everything. But we use a 2% interest rate in the future for cost estimate examples. We decided on using 4%. We decided that earlier today in the TCC. We're using 4% just to kind of control the costs and everything. And this says current year is 2016. That's because this is an old cost estimate tool. And that is also because it's from Atlanta. I can't change it. That's how they wanted to have that embedded inside of it. It's just an Excel spreadsheet that's a macro. So basically, it's $50 million. And I looked around the country. Kansas City, Missouri, their SPOOE was about $25 million. In California, theirs is about $75 million. So ours is in the middle, which makes a lot of sense. So it's about accurate. It kind of gives you a ballpark figure of how much it would cost. Savannah's a little bit more urban. This particular area is a little bit more suburban, but also we have a lot of traffic and a lot of things that are going to be built, a lot of developments. We're going to have the Hyundai factory and everything, so everything is going to have a lot more traffic in the future. So basically, this is a tool we decided to use, and if you have anybody who wants to know more about it, let us know. If you have any questions, let me know.
Any questions? Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Next report is the congestion management process 2024 outline.
Yes. So the congestion management process. So essentially, let me see if I read it real fast. Here it is. So this is pretty quick. So the 2024 CMP is in process. The previous CMP was analyzed to create the 2024 version. We all know the congestion management process looks at the traffic flow, safety, and everything, and tries to figure out how we can combat congestion. We do the process every 5 years or so. Essentially, we're updating the 2017 CMP and all of the contents. So the table of contents kind of tells you every topic we use. I went through it and kind of added more data. And this is an update to tell you what sort of sections we included. These are the data sources, and I'll get to that in a second. So now I'll go to it right now. So 2024 data sources for this one, for this CMP update, these are the table of contents, are going to be GDOT, MPMRDS. This is a data source, a national data source, Georgia ITE, Chatham Area Transit, what else? Core MPO Freight Plan, U.S. Census Bureau, and even some other sources. So all of these in yellow are the ones that I've added into it. I've also added access management. And if you're familiar with Georgia, I learned this a long time ago. Georgia expanded its roadways, so it widened a lot of roadways, like North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. They have a lot of two-lane roadways, which is really annoying. And they keep right-of-way, so they can expand it. So they expanded to four-lane roadways. Georgia's a lot more farther ahead, transportation-wise, than North Carolina. So their roadways were expanded pretty quickly. But all of their median intersections, excuse me, not median, their medians are usually two-way left turn lanes. So those are suicide lanes. And they're very problematic because they cause a lot of safety issues because you might not see somebody and you might hit them head on because you can't see well. So the access management means that you have more medians. You control how many right turn lanes people can take into a development. So, for instance, if you have a Burger King next to a Wendy's, instead of having a bunch of right turn lanes to get into each one from a main roadway, you have one roadway that connects both of them and you turn into that and you can go to either one. So that's access management. So we have vehicle delay hours. That's how long you're stuck in traffic, cost of congestion. You multiply the vehicle delay hours by the average hourly rate of pay. So the average rate that somebody gets, like $16 an hour, multiply how long they stay in traffic, tells you how much it costs to have people in traffic. You do that for everybody. So the percent of non-single occupant vehicle travel, so that's median, or excuse me, that's van pools, that's stuff like that where you go into Bus Rapid Transit, hopefully we'll get that soon, things like that, where you're not in your own car. Total emissions reduction, that's like the carbon reduction program, where you get rid of all the fossil fuels and everything. The type of crash, vehicular versus environment. So example, if someone's driving erratically or someone's not having good driver behavior versus if your intersection is designed so poorly that it causes people to crash into each other. And then pedestrian, so that's looking at areas that need facilities, pedestrian level of service, bicycle propensity analysis, areas in need of bicycle facilities, cost of congestion again, crash density versus bottleneck locations, where are the crashes versus where are the bottlenecks, where is the traffic jam? And then that's it. And so here's the schedule, gathering data, we're still in that process. I think it's next week. Yeah, today's the 19th. Next week, start writing it. This is just a general schedule. And then hopefully be finished by January.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Awesome. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.
Next on our agenda is the Core MPO Regional Freight Plan Update.
We had our freight, the ADFA committee meeting this morning. Just come over here. So all of the freight plan deliverables available online. So we got our last one, basically. That's strange. Okay, we go to the Core MPO homepage, and it's under plans. How come I cannot? Well, what is going on? Oh, yeah, that's strange.
It's zoomed in a lot.
Okay. Okay, I don't know what is going on. Okay, we have been updating you on the freight plan update for the past 1 year and a half. So it's finally wrapping up, and it's wrapping up October 31st. So all of the deliverables over here, agendas, presentations, and the meeting information, and then all these technical memos and the final reports, the final report. So currently the consultants are just incorporating all the comments, addressing all the comments, and finalizing all of these documents. So we're going to like wrap up, like I said, at the end of the month. If you are still interested in any of this, and we're going to post the final reports after October 31st. So since last MPO CEC meeting update. There are two documents that became available, two draft documents, and we're still collecting input. One of is the like freight model profile. Those are just four pages that just shows the highway, rail, port, and the air. So you can see the statistics. For example, the highway, how many miles we have, and what kind of the commodities we deliver. So those would this is a new product. And then the other one is this development of the final report and documentation. Basically, this is a summary of the previous technical memos. So if the previous technical memos have more detailed information, but this is like a summary. What is the finding? What is the finding from this tech memo? What is the finding from that technical memo? So this is the summary report. So these are new report since my last update.
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next on the agenda is the urban flooding model study update.
I don't know where the tool is, but that's okay. Hi, Anna McQuarrie with the MPO. And so our team from UGA and GMC gave us a final presentation for the flooding dynamic modeling for optimized planning at core MPO, transportation infrastructure systems, also the urban flood model. And so they did this presentation, which is in the attached to the agenda. A couple new things that they went over. This is not the same presentation as earlier. Just use this one. And so this one included more information about the social vulnerability index and financial stewardship. So they're going to provide us a technical memo with a list describing more funding opportunities for this work. And so they went over the data and stormwater modeling process, but focused on their new ESRI dashboard for ArcGIS. And so essentially what this dashboard does is it shows you the exact roads that are more vulnerable to sea level rise and flooding. And they have it broken down by different neighborhoods and different types of scenarios and different levels of flooding. And so low versus high, and then also by 2050, 2075, and 2100. And so it's pretty cool. You can see, you know, how many roads in each neighborhood or place are going to be flooded in various scenarios. And this will be on the Urban Flood Model website on the MPO in the next day or two, business day or two. So that if you have any comments or want to look through it, you can send those to myself or our project team as well. And so that study is expected will wrap up at the end of this month. So any comments next week would be awesome.
Do you recall who the, I guess, critical neighborhoods were, or one of the critical neighborhoods were?
So I just got to see this tool for the very first time this afternoon. So I haven't been able to dive into it yet. But they do have the social vulnerability. They have it here. Index on here. So the darker colors are more socially vulnerable, and that's through the CDC, SVI map. So this is very widely used. And then the roads are going to be a little bit different. So there's more vulnerability in this PowerPoint. You can kind of click through and see. I think this is based on tide elevation for the different years and storm surge. right here. So the red being more vulnerable, the yellow being a low vulnerable, and different water levels. So once I can dig into that, I will let you know more. But yeah, I'm interested to see myself.
Any other questions?
When will it be done with this work?
October 31st is the end of the contract.
So you don't get back to the school, we won't be of any use, will it?
I'm sorry?
If their work will be done by October 31st, which is less than a week
yes,
away.
Yes, it is. It is a short.
It now, it won't do us much good.
So at least with the dashboard in ArcGIS, they can do some small modifications, and I know that they're doing some different like quality control checks too. But you're right, it's a very small window for comments.
Speaking of comments, I want to go back and apologize for that. You raised it earlier under action item two. Let us say bylaws. You said that the material in red, that's new language and things you want to see happen. When will we have to comment on that? When has to be turned in? October 31st also?
No. We're targeting to adopt the MOU and the bylaws in December. Yeah, so in December. So now if we need to schedule individual meetings like what we last time we did with the combined CEC and ACAT meeting, we can have a combined meeting, just a workshop or something, just to work on this. I mean, we can just go line by line. So we still have like more than 1 month to work on that.
You said December, you mean early December, about the 7th of December, something like that?
December 13th is the Quan Pio board meeting. So December 13th, the Quan Pio board needs to adopt the MOUs and the bylaws. Because after that, we need to send the MOUs to all the local jurisdictions. We need to collect their signature. And then we're going to, after we get all the signatures, we're going to forward everything to GDOT, to the governor's office for signature. Next month, we have about 1 month, a little bit over 1 month just to work on this. So if we do need to have a like workshop, just targeting our committee. So we can schedule that. So we just go line by line and just determine. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Sally, could you give me a copy of that material in red she had? I need it not to come out of the bar and pick it up because I need to study this closely.
Yeah.
I have some ideas I want to.
Okay.
Things I want to
I might print out a better copy because currently included all the staff comments because I drafted it and I circulated around and all the staff members provided comments. Oh. Yeah. So I still have those comments in. But if you want to prefer to have those comments in, and that's fine. It's because you can review what other people think as well.
Fine, but if not include it, it's okay too.
Okay.
I just want to be able to see it. So we can
have
the whole thing laid out as you see it and then a response to it.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions concerning the urban flood model?
I did have a question. Yeah. So is this study that they're of course wrapping up? Is this similar to what other coastal counties in Georgia are doing right now? Are they also?
So as far as Georgia goes, this is the first MPO to have a study like this. Ted Hicks with GDOT was here earlier, and he was saying this was kind of a first of its kind for the Georgia MPOs, which was really cool, and he thinks other MPOs would be interested in learning more, but up and down the coast, at least the East Coast, you have different MPOs doing vulnerability and resiliency plans. This one is more focused on roads and using stormwater data as well. So I'm not quite sure if there are exact replicas of this, but at least for Georgia, it's unique.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm from southern Louisiana where flood mitigation is almost a way of life at this point. But, you know, that's – yeah, and like in South Carolina as well, obviously we'd share data with the other counties because the floodwater doesn't care where the county line is. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I know for this study, they had a really difficult time finding good data to use, at least for stormwater. And they worked very diligently to find data, clean it up, make sure it was as accurate as it could be. And it's very specific, at least for the stormwater data, because they have to have that. You know, that's going to be unique to each area if that data is available for people to use.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the non-motorized transportation plan status report.
Good evening, everyone. I will just run through this quickly. So the Core MPO is in the process of updating its non-motorized transportation plan, which is our bike and pedestrian plan. And we are at the phase where we're asking everyone to send project lists for this plan so they can be ranked by the steering committee. And we would prefer the format of those project lists to be the one shown below in this spreadsheet format. So once all of those projects are submitted, they will be reviewed by the public for public input. And then using that public input and other factors, they'll be scored and ranked by the Bike and Pedestrian Steering Committee. In addition, the just listing the projects out in text, PDFs and GIS shape files would also be really helpful and for documentation and information purposes. And this project list is projected to be completed by February 2024. In addition to the project list, we are working on equity-related topics, and we're doing so by creating maps that overlay certain community resources such as schools, grocery stores, and public housings with maps of our current bike and pedestrian infrastructure. And we are still working on the analysis of the bike and pedestrian volumes, crash data, and origin and destination data. And from this work, we will have a list of specific roads and intersections that need the most safety improvements, a description of where we need more bike and pedestrian infrastructure based on those large data sets of the bike and pedestrian volumes, and also a map kind of showing the layout and the distance between community features such as public housing, college student housing, schools, et cetera, and just where they are in comparison to where our bike and pedestrian resources are. And the overall plan is projected to be adopted in June 2024. Are there any questions?
No, just anyone can submit, as you said, in that form or?
Does it have to be a government agency, or can anyone submit a plan?
Individuals?
Individuals.
I wouldn't say that. Because we have
when we started the 2050 plan update and the non-motorized transportation plan update, we actually have a map survey on the website, so you can click on that. So you can click on where you want that project. So basically you're submitting a new project. If you say, yeah, we will accept that. Yeah.
And just to show where, that is some of our surveys. So we have several surveys running. And so the one you would want to choose to put, your suggestions down is the 2050 MTP map survey. And I can send a link as well where you can just pin and add a comment. So, but yes, this would be the website where you would add your suggestions for plans or projects. Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is U.S. 80 Corridor Study Status Update.
That study wrapped up on September 30th, and then the consultant Kim Lee Horn gave a presentation at the August meeting, but the final report, when they send us, we will post it to the website, and so the attached is their status report, so as you can see, so they're still working on the final report.
Awesome. Lastly, the notices are generally for our information. You can review them. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to staff for any clarification on that.
Yeah, if you have any questions, like GDOT, Chatham County, City of Savannah, Port Wentworth, Savannah Airport, CAT, so if you have any questions on any of their projects, we will make sure to get you the answers. Thank you.
Our next core MPO CAC committee meeting is December 7th at 5:30 p.m. And with that, I will adjourn.